We're good to go. Okay, so we're grappling, huh? We're grappling here. We launched into this. I don't want to go too far back, but I want to just go back far enough just to summarize how we got into what we're dealing with here, and that is the going too deeply into the hakira in the question of whether a person acts out of hechrach, out of compulsion, or out of bechira. Old famous question, which he says is something that you don't want to get involved in. It's the Sakana, because you come to apikorsis and you come to krukadeyas, because, and this is the launching pad for what we're dealing with, is that because a person doesn't have the ability, doesn't have the koyach to understand this question properly. We don't have the sophistication, the kelim needed in order to approach this question properly, because our seichel is not advanced enough for that. And then he explains this with mashalim. He brings all sorts of things in the world which we use and have access to, but we don't understand how they work. Now, some of those things the mashal he uses are things that we actually do understand today. In his times, they were incredibly new inventions, and we didn't get it. Today, you have to up the ante a little bit, artificial intelligence and things like this. We use things and we deal with things. We don't know how it works. I don't know how Zoom works. Do you understand Zoom? I don't know how Zoom works. Trying to explain it to me, I'm just not going to get it. Somebody explained to me how Bitcoin worked 50 times. I still don't get it. I mean, lawyer, I don't get futures. There are a lot of things in the world. I'm summarizing very briefly what he's trying to get at here. But for our purposes, that's what he's talking about. And then the last paragraph that ends off Perek Ches, before we go into Perek Tes, is what summarizes this concept. I said maybe I made a note here that maybe we'll do the paragraph just before that and then finish off Perek Tes with that. So this will go over what we did. We'll go over it quickly. He spoke there about the water mill, the mill that grinds wheat using water. So today that's not exactly a major pillar for us. We run whole electric power stations that light up entire cities using that technology today. But in the early days, that was like a major invention. So you have to, again, we're talking about 1,000 years ago. We have to relate to to understand the technology he's talking about. But the idea is an idea. So let's have a look at this. It's interesting the way he turns out. It's just an interesting journey back, besides anything else. He says, like this, Vidova. Something that a person uses even more, and one can be awestruck by it's how it works. We're talking about before the printing press, we're talking about before, just to put things into perspective. He's talking about the water grinder for wheat. That's not exactly, most three-year-olds will tell you, of course, what's the pillar? That's obvious. We're talking about before they had printing, there was no chashmal, there was before the rush, before the Industrial Revolution. So one has to get one's head around this, that for them this was some major invention. Very weak wooden wheels. They get moved by water. How does that turn this big heavy grindstone above it? And it moves it much quickly so it can grind wheat. In those days, you used to grind wheat like this with a hand, with a big stone. Suddenly, a guy makes an invention. He puts a bit of water on a wooden wheel, and now this thing's mamash. He's a millionaire because he's got a wheat grinding machine. You throw a stone in there, it drops straight out. This thing is very, very heavy, this grindstone that you use to grind the wheat. And the water that's turning this wheel, the koyach of this galgal, is much weaker than the power of water. When you throw a stone in the stone sinks to the bottom, right? The water can't hold the stone. So the water's very weak, clap a little stone. And yeah, very weak zerum of mine is turning this big, massive stone. You get the maths? That's what's bothering him. If you would have heard this from somebody, someone come back and tell you, I just came back from the big city, you would see what they've got there. They pour a little bit of water, a very weak thing on the thing, and it turns. And a mama grinds wheat. I'll tell you, they've got good whiskey in the city. Nachon, that's what he tell you. If you didn't see it, you could throw the guy in jail. He's a mashugana. Why would you think the guy's a mashugana? Because your level of understanding, your weak seichel, can't understand what this guy's talking about. If you've never seen such a thing, today, our seichel is big enough to be able to understand how that works. There's other things we don't understand how they work. You think I know how my car works? You think I have any idea where the clutch is, what the clutch does, mazik gears, mazik? I don't have a clue how that works. Now, I would go learn it and study it so my seichel gets strength, and I would understand that better. But then other things I won't understand. That's what he's trying to get across here. Well, Mahmoud said, I don't know why he has to go to such a length to do this. Just tell me, you can't understand. The Rambam did this in one law. Rambam says, how do you understand Yediyah and Bechira? You can't understand. So we don't understand Hashem's Yediyah. We don't understand. They're finished. The Rambam says, laboring the point and bringing Mesholim and examples to explain why you can't understand. Like, okay, we got it. You don't understand. There are lots of things. I can't even understand the Gemara that I learned today and yesterday and the day before. I still don't understand it. So for days, there's some things we don't understand. I don't understand the Chovas Halavavos either. So, Haraya. I'm not sure what the Arichas here is, but it's fascinating anyway. We don't understand how things work. We don't understand the depths of everything, the whole genetic makeup, the way things work. How do trees produce fruit? Take a bit of sand, a bit of water, and a bit of air, and you make watermelons. You know how to do that. We don't understand the secret of that either. So that's the nakuda here. And therefore, this question of whether we work behechrach or we work bechira, you can't understand it. And it's not like if you don't understand how a water mill works. If you don't understand how water mill works, but you can still own one and make a lot of money. But if you don't understand how bechira and hechrach works, you become an apikairis. You don't understand how your phone works or Zoom works, and become an apikairis. You just besed, you drive your car and you don't understand how it works and besed it. But if you don't get here and your deer properly because you don't have the proper understanding, you come to be an apikairis. That's what he's telling us here. Okay. Now he finishes off Perek Ches like this. If a person doesn't even understand the things that are mamish in his hands all the time, therefore, you shouldn't be terribly surprised how it could be that a person doesn't understand Hashem's ways of running the world in relation to compulsion and Bechira. The most basic things in the world we don't understand. So now you don't understand Hashem's Mishpatei Hashem, how he juggles Bechira with Yediyah and Bechira with Hechrach. Sorry, not with Yediyah, but Hechrach. The depth, the secrets of this subject are hidden within hidden, infinitely well hidden from us, much, much more than the secrets of the wisdom of the things we've been talking about up to now. You think artificial intelligence, that's chokhmah, wow, we don't understand it or whatever. It's a klum, compared to the wisdom you would need to understand the subject of hechrach and bechira, which we also don't understand. We don't understand what the problem is. Not that we don't understand the subject. We don't understand why it's complicated. It seems quite straightforward. We don't even understand why you become an epicurus if you learn the subject. It seems to be quite straightforward. So that's the problem we're having, and you have to accept that. Well, what the Torah teaches and what the Torah tells you, you can understand, but you can't come being same things because you just don't understand Hashem's ways. Well, Hashem lo gova libi v'lo romo einai v'lo hilachti begdeilis ubenifleis mimeni. David HaMelech testifies about himself, and David HaMelech went to some pretty high places. Lo gova libi, my mind didn't go up high. V'lo romo einai, and I didn't lift up my eyes. V'lo halachti begdeilis ubenifleis mimeni. I didn't go try and grapple with things that were too big for me, that were bigger than me and beyond me. And he did some, I mean, you know, David HaMelech did some big stuff. Tehillim will keep you busy trying to understand the rest of your life. You wouldn't understand half of what he wrote. But he said, I didn't look for things that weren't matim for me. After he brings this concept that he doesn't understand so well, he brings something similar. Then, when you come to this idea, Shani lo mivin, Hashem's ways are just too much. I can't. Then that flows into the betochen. And you're handing over your own conduct, your life. You hand over to Hashem. That's where David HaMelech went to, as he says in Tehillim, "Im lo shivisi domaman tinafshi kegomola imoy kegomola nafshi." If I hadn't just, we'll see how he explains it now. If I hadn't, let's just put it simple. If I hadn't behaved like a baby who's nurturing from his mother, who's feeding from his mother, suckling baby, then I would have. Then I wouldn't have got anywhere. I would have blown it. I would have lost it completely. If I hadn't quieted my soul, kagomolai imoy kagomolai nafshi. What's kagomolai imoy kagomolai nafshi? Same as a baby hands himself over to his mother. He's not worried about there is milk. There's no milk. When is going to? He just knows that it's all taken care of. He has no worry. He's not lying there worried about, oh, you hope she's got milk when I need to feed. The baby's not, that's not what he's crying about. He's hungry, so he knows there's food, and if there isn't food, there isn't food. So that's what David HaMelech said. He first recognized that he had this desire to go to places above him, but he was able to calm the down and say, I didn't go there. And then he says, I was able to just quiet my soul. There must have been a roaring soul there. David HaMelech was a giant. There must have been a roaring yearning inside. He gave it over to Hashem like you give over to a baby, like a baby gives over to his mother. So he says in the Pischa Leif from the Paslechem and the Tzuras David, he says, Ata Hashem Yodea Es HaEmes. You know the truth, Hashem. Im lo hishivisi v'damti es atzmi, did I not quieten myself, calm myself down? V'gomol la'imoy, v'tinok sheyesh lo betochen mole be'imoy. Baby has the best betochen you can ever have. Full-fledged betochen in his mother. He has no clue what his mother's doing to him. That's how I trust Hashem. I understand, but I understand that that's very little. And I give myself over to Hashem, like a baby. He's over to his mother. And then you calm your soul and you have a tochen and a kultov. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to become like a tinoik. That's with his mother. That's how you treat Hashem. Hashem is like a mother and I'm the suckling baby. Now, that would be very easy to do if you could do what a baby does. He just goes back to sleep. We have this ishtadlus problem that Hashem says, I actually need you to take care of things and do things. I'm taking care of anything, all the problems you're having, all the difficulties, all the stuff. I'm taking care of it. It's all good. I called off, like the Rob said this morning. You were there early this morning. You were in the shiur this morning, the breakfast shiur. You were there. You weren't there. I don't know if I saw you or not. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so that was his theme. That was his theme. It's Hashem. Hashem takes care of everything. We have to do what we have to do, for sure. There's a pechat lechem. We have to do what you have to do. Oh, well, of course, Baruch Hu's taking care of everything. You throw it on him. You could just throw it on him like a baby. Like, really, I could be kagomalei. Someone says, why are you sleeping the whole day? You tell him, well, I'm about the clock. And kagomalei imoy. What's the baby do the whole day? He sleeps and cries. So that's what I do. I sleep and cry, but I know that Hashem's taking care of everything I call to. But that's the betochen that a person has to have. And Shaar Avodas Elokim is the perek that the shaar that leads into Shaar Betochen. When you finish Shaar Avodas Elokim, the next most important thing you need in order to be an Eved Hashem is betochen. So that's where this leads into betochen. Okay, let's start Perek Tes. What we just did now is crazily difficult. We have to go back and learn it a few times just to even start getting a sense of it. But at least we know that it exists. I think the main benefit is we actually know that this thing exists now. There is this year, and we go back and start learning it and doing Chazara. A very difficult shah. Difficult. Very hard to get one's teeth into this. Deep philosophical stuff and whatever. How to put this all together. Says Perek Tes. I'm just going to read the Hagdoma of the piece of the Leif Toiv. He always brings it here just so we have some sense of where we're going. Aladam Ladat Hativ, the Ezamatarahu Nivra. The Mercedes Jolim starts off with this. He's putting it at the end of Shah Gimel. Is it's incumbent on a person to know what reason he was created for. Why am I living? What did Hashem create me for? In order that he will use the short time that he has in this world properly. A person has a very short time in this world. Is to know what his purpose is, what his goal is, so that he can fulfill his goal properly. Moshel Hamadgim Nutsul Nochen, the built in Nochen, shall the Kufus Hamaavar, shall the Adam Boilamase. I don't know what he means. Hamadgim. Nitzul nochon. To save properly, to utilize properly. Nochon is kufus amavar shalom boi namazeh. That's what he said above. Okay. Let's see what the Chayvus Halavava says to say. The Tamer and Nefesh. We're still busy with the dialogue here with the Nefesh and the, who was it? It was the Nefesh and the Seichel. Having learned everything, the nefesh still has what to say. Hirgates ruchi al yedei sheveiti oise ledei akorish ein biyecholti laasig esod inyan haechrach vabakila. You've calmed me down. I'm chilled now about my inability to understand this concept of hechrach ubakira. Yofi, I got it. Chilled. Calm down. You did a very good job of calming me down. Beglal adinusoy v'amkoy. Because of its enormous sensitivity, its enormous sophistication and depth, can you please tell me the secret of what the heck I'm doing here? That's my language. That's not a good translation, but that's what we say. What is the meaning of life? My life. What am I doing here? Everyone, whatever lotion you want to use, what am I living for? And what is the reason, the intention that Hashem had when he brought my neshama down into this world? I want the short version, the kitzur version, to the best of your ability. What are the actions, the things I do out of force, out of compulsion, and what are the things I do out of bechira? That I shouldn't be like this king that they talk about, that they told the story about this king who didn't understand which conducts were for his good and which weren't. So we'll have to see what the story is. They are simple. They're going to tell me the story. Story time. In one of the islands of India, Rabbi Salavavas knew about India. Every year they would paint upon themselves a foreign king. Adam Zar. I'm not sure if he's a foreign king or somebody who didn't come from the Malchus. And Take a guy, you make him the king. He's the king for a year. After that, he goes back to doing whatever he was doing before. They once approached. That happens today as well. They got a president or a king who was a bit of a fool. The Korea from him. He had no clue of what they were going to do at the end of the year. Adam Zetsovimubonarmonot. He took money. He was the king. He built palaces. He built walls and towers around the city. He took everything that was outside the city. He didn't take anything out of the city. He just brought everything that was outside the city into the city. Everything he owned, everything he had, he brought into the city because he's going to be here forever. At the end of the year, they picked him up and they threw him out. He had nothing because everything he brought into the city, you don't get to take it with you. He didn't know that you're just here for a year. Whatever you get here is not yours. It belongs to the Malchus. And when you leave the way you came, garnished. Because what happened when he left? Somebody, the new king moved in for a year, and then he'll also move out. So the marshal's pretty posh, yeah? Be the king. Afterwards, they saw what this fool was. They decided we better be more careful when we appoint a melech. So they found a very clever guy. He said, listen, I want to know what I'm in for you. So he took somebody and he said, tell me what happened to the last king. The king that came before. Seems from this part, they never told the guy that he's only there for a year. They took him and made him king, so he thinks he's going to be there forever. But this king was clever. He went and he said, listen, they made me king. It's a bit muzar. Why did they make me king? Tell me what happens here. How does this work? So he explained to them the secret. You're a king for a year. Afterwards, they turf you out. So now he understands the game plan. So he didn't do anything that the previous king did. He spent all his efforts taking everything that was in this city and transferring it to another city. He wasn't influenced at all by all the covered and the godless that they gave him. He's the king that he didn't take any attention from it. He had this mixture between tsar and simcha. He was very upset. He was very sad because he's going to have to leave here soon. And what he managed to plant away in the other city wasn't as much as he would like to take. He'd like more time to plant more things in the next city. He was very, very happy. Because he's leaving us soon to go and enjoy all the wealth that he's put away for himself. He's going to be able to enjoy all the benefits, the investment that he made here. He goes to another city. He's a wealthy guy now. The year came up. They threw him out. Thank you. Very happy. In Sumbaya. And I don't know, but he does it. But I thought it's a belief of my own, but it's a faith of my own. It's myself, it's my motzov. Valach likras ha, betoiv likras kovet godel, betim chetmidis. He was going to a gewaltika city where all his wealth was saved up. It was going to a wonderful place. Usameach al kufas jehusa be'ir. He was very happy with the time that he spent in the city. But the Samach al Kufa says something, man. He was very happy with leaving it as well because he knew before he's leaving soon. And at least he left with something. This king, he got benefit from both the cities. He had a lot of nice time in the city, leaving the city, and he had a nice time in the other city, you know, because he put everything there. He used his time as the king well. And now he's reaping the benefits of it. So again, the motto of these two kings is very straightforward. It's talking about us. We come into this world for a very short time. You can spend all your time building everything you have here. And when you leave, they don't let you take anything with you. Or you can spend your time here investing in the other city. So when you leave here, all what you did here is all waiting for you there. So we also walk around here with a mixed feeling of simcha and tsar. We want to live forever, but with such a need, we want to go to the other place where all our wealth is. Because, yeah, we don't really have that much wealth. The only health we have here is what the potential is to be able to get what we want. That's the ikka pleasure of this world. We want pleasure. You can enjoy this world, and enjoying this world is a big mitzvah as well. If you understand that this is not the end, this is the means to the end. That's, I think, the nimshul. Anyway, we'll see what he has to say next week, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, so next week, Bezrat Hashem, Monday. Again, I apologize. I'm trying very hard to keep to schedule, but
Bezrat Hashem. That's perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very interesting dialogue there.
Take good care, Rabbi Sa. All the best.
Ciao. Have a good one.
Sei gesund.